Welcome to How to Save Your Marriage with Nicola Beer, a show full of tips and practical strategies to repair, rebuild, and strengthen your relationship. If you are currently stuck wondering if your marriage can be saved, or you know you want to save it but don't know how to go about changing it, this show is for you. And now here is your host, Nicola Beer, who specializes in a proven 10-step program to help couples increase their love, passion, and happiness in their marriage in 30 days or less, guaranteed.
Hi and welcome, this is Nicola Beer and I'm really looking forward to sharing with you about the topic today because it's about breaking the cycle of isolating and loneliness. Isolating creates loneliness and isolating also can damage relationships, so it's a really important area to look at. There is a huge difference between taking personal processing time out when you need to think, assess or relax, and isolating. Isolating is where you don't communicate and connect with others for a long period of time. For example, a person may focus on work, and then after work, instead of interacting with those close to them, they shut themselves down and numb out with food, TV, video games, or a drink. After my relationship ended, feeling sad and numb, I moved into an apartment and pretty much became a robot, moving from a screen in the office to a screen at home. I'd work long hours and come home and watch TV and comfort eat or drink alcohol alone. I'd never felt so lonely, and yet I was the cause of my own loneliness because I kept on choosing staying in over seeing people. I wanted to get home and do the same routine of eating or drinking, often eating exactly the same food. It was a little ritual that I had created and had become attached to for comfort. Yet at the same time, isolating was not a comfort. It was making me feel more and more alone. I had learnt this habit from a young age. My mother was always shouting and moaning about everything, and often this was directed at me. So I used to hide in my room and be all on my own all night. And it was more peaceful. Sat in my own room, I used to sit with my back against the radiator, huddle my knees in and listen to music. But it was also incredibly lonely. Unconsciously, without realising, I had developed a pattern in adulthood, was that when you're hurt, distance yourself and be alone. And when conflict, hide. This habit of isolating when hurt led me to feel even more empty and low. Sometimes the loneliness would really get to me, where I would think, what's the point? What's all of this for, if I have no one to share it with? Yet, I kept isolating. In fact, whenever I felt down, I'd shut myself off. I'd refuse to talk. I'd even turn my phone off. It became a way of coping and of dealing with pain. I'd do it automatically without thinking. And I believe this unhelpful way of coping led to my addictive patterns. Instead of having close relationships to share my people to share my feelings with, I was married to food and a bottle of wine. These became my tools to keep me going. I remember one day being totally confused about where to live, whether to stay in my relationship, what job to do. I was scrambling for clues, for a solution to fix my life. And I decided, in order to fix them, I'd go and spend 3 to 5 days in isolation to work it out. I thought I just need to get away to a hotel and just learn what I really wanted to do and where was the best place to head. Needless to say, I did not feel any better or clearer about the solution. It didn't help me at all. I'd also isolate to avoid conflict in my romantic relationships. I'd distance myself, not communicate with my partner to avoid confrontation. Deep down, I knew this was not serving me, but I didn't know how to stand up for myself or want to stand up for myself. I'd rather hide and sulk than address the issues. The trouble is, often isolating stops us from healing. It stops us from saving the relationship problems, so it causes harm to relationships. And time again, I see this pattern in marriages I help transform. where one or both in the marriage avoid each other, hoping that the underlying issues will fix themselves. They rarely do. When one or both emotionally shut down, it causes doubt, disappointment, and despair. Feelings, unless felt, leads them to linger. I'll say that again because it's really important. Feelings, unless we feel them, leads for them to linger. If we're just trying to squash them in. Hurt, unless expressed, leads us to hold resentment. Isolation leads to loneliness, emptiness, and can damage relationships. What actually motivated me to talk about this with you today is a couple who came to see me last week. Jackie was at her wit's end because every time she argued with her husband, he would disappear. It started off as a few hours away, and then over the years they've been together, he went to a hotel once or twice. And she came to me last week because her husband Dan had booked a flight and flew to another country after an argument. He then sent her a text message asking her to come over to the place that he went to. When she raised it with him, he said it was her fault. She was driving him away with her anger. She felt abandoned and furious that whenever she did take the stand to stand up for herself, it would lead to hours, days, or weeks of the silent treatment. And now this, fleeing a country. She was also sick and tired of being the one to back down and apologise. They had tried one marriage counsellor and felt more annoyed after, because all they did was talk about all the horrible arguments they were having at home, and they were really playing the blame game in front of the counsellor, hoping that the counsellor would individually choose their side. It was clear to me that both of them needed to break their individual habits. Dan needed to support himself in expressing how he felt calmly and breaking the cycle of running away. And Jackie needed to work on finding a healthier way to express her anger than the angry outburst that she was currently performing. Another lady I helped communicate differently would always avoid her family if she thought that there might be conflict. For example, if she got drunk at a family gathering, worried about what she said or did, she would avoid everyone for months. If her husband annoyed her, she would fill her time with her children and sleep in separate rooms, never once communicating how she felt. And then there are people who isolate because they are depressed. When I was diagnosed with depression and insomnia 16 years ago in my final year of university, this is what I did. I isolated myself from everyone and everything I enjoyed. I would not even cook in my own kitchen in the shared accommodation I was in. Instead, I would eat my meals locked away in my room. Isolating makes depression worse. It makes everything worse because we're social creatures and need to be with others and around others. Anthony Robbins describes love and connection as one of the four basic human needs. That is, all humans need connection with others to be happy across all cultures. During the short time I felt depressed, what I was really craving was more love and attention and support. Yet through my isolating habit, all I got was more loneliness and more feelings that love and support were missing. Depression is really difficult because you lose interest in being with other people and doing things, and yet not doing these things ends up in us feeling more hopeless and even less like being with other people. As loneliness is a low vibe energy and feeling, it can become a vicious cycle in this way. That's why right now I'm going to share some other alternatives to isolating when feeling depressed, hurt, or angry, so you can be happier and have happier relationships. Try some of the things that I'm going to share with you that have worked for me and countless others. The first is to talk it out. Find a trusted friend, family member, or coach to talk to, where you won't be judged. Problems left in our own head go round and round, and it can be overwhelming. I've spent countless hours and days, even weeks, trying to work out if what I'm feeling is right or not right. And it's really hard to see things clearly and make decisions when we're stuck in our own head. Yet when you express it to someone safe, the answers naturally come. I often find my own answers just by sharing what is going on in my head with someone, because it enables me to process it. The next is to face relationship challenges head on. When we avoid our relationship troubles, they tend to grow, both in our mind, as it becomes bigger than it has to be. Plus, it doesn't feel good to bottle in everything inside. Relationship troubles also grow bigger and the longer we leave them. As more distance, the harder it becomes to reconnect with that person. Strength and self-respect comes from owning our own issues and dealing with them. That is, we admire ourselves more and think highly of ourselves when we speak our truth and when we respect ourselves enough to deal with our issues. The next thing is to join a group. There is something about a community of people coming together to share ideas, to share something that they enjoy. Being in the energy of others can lift us up, give us ideas, and stop loneliness. This can give you regular contact to others where you do not have to share personal things, but are fulfilling the human need for connection. There are many groups those I have supported have signed up to, from volunteer groups, book clubs, church groups, cooking groups, writing, running, swimming, or cycling groups, photography, meditation, and support groups for any habits that they want to change. I've been a member of many groups that meet up, and being around people who share similar interests is great. Some of mine have been ice skating, dancing, plant-based eating, counselling, and walking groups. This year, I'm creating my own group to study textbooks I feel really drawn to. One text is A Course in Miracles, and the other is The Power of the Subconscious Mind, as it's something I want to study and share with others. So if there are no support groups in your area, what about creating one? A lady I work with created a support group to help people that are grieving the loss of a child. Another lady that I work with created a group for mums. A man I work with created a boxing group. Is there any groups that you can join or that you would like to create? And if you feel that you can't get out to a group, or there's nothing in your area, or that you're living somewhere remote, is there an online group that you can perhaps join or create, or something to study with others? So those are the main things to help with stop isolating. Another thing to do, if you do want quiet time and personal space, is to create a self-love sanctuary and use your self-love sanctuaries for quiet time. As I mentioned, there's a huge difference between taking personal space and isolating yourself for long periods of time and avoiding others. When you take time for yourself, make sure that you do so in a way that is going to support you and your mood. I call this a self-love sanctuary. A self-love sanctuary is a place where you feel a positive energy and where you can relax and feel good. My self-love sanctuaries are my bed, because I feel supported, peaceful, and comforted there. The beach, any beach, as I love being in nature and hearing the sounds of the sea. Especially if I see the sunrise or the sunset, it's beautiful. My armchair, which is placed by my window in my home. In fact, I'm sitting on it now. It's where I speak to you. It's where I read. It's where I chill out. It's where I have my favourite herbal licorice tea. And then my yoga mat. My yoga mat is a place where I feel centred, connected, and calm. What are your self-love sanctuaries that you go to regularly to feel at peace? And if you do not have any, where can you go that's going to give you that feeling of safety and feeling of support? As you can see from mine, it doesn't have to be somewhere fancy. It's just somewhere where you can visit at least once or twice a week that makes you feel good. And the last thing I just want to share with you is it's really important to schedule these in our calendar. If we want to stop isolating and feeling lonely, then we need to book in time with others, We need to ask people in advance. We need to invite ourselves to things and invite others to meet us. We need to put in to our calendar groups that we can join, as well as love sanctuary time. I find that unless something goes in my calendar, it rarely happens. By setting a routine and sticking to it, you make it easier to maintain contact with the world and yourself in a positive way. So I hope this has been useful to you. Do get in touch with me if you have any questions at all. And if you're isolating because you no longer trust anyone after being hurt, be sure to subscribe to the show, because I'm going to have some more episodes coming up on trusting life and trusting others. So from my heart to yours, thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful week ahead.
Thank you for listening to How to Save Your Marriage with Nicola Beer. To book your free Save My Marriage consultation, please visit www.savemymarriageprogram.com/consult. And if you've enjoyed this episode, Nicola would really appreciate it if you could leave a rating and review on whatever app you're listening through, so the show stays visible, allowing more people to get the support they need to increase their love, passion, and happiness.